Local and national sports talk that's fresh, in season, and FDA approved. If it's hot, you'll find it cooking with Jeff, Jay, and Kelly.
Delicious.
They don't just stir the pot. They add more flavor than the other guys.
Yum, yum, yum.
Get ready to dig in and taste some sports skillet.
You know what I'm tasting? No, I taste victory.
Right now on Fox Sports 920, The Jersey.
Welcome to the Sports Skillet Radio Show right here on Fox Sports Radio 920, The Jersey. What is crack-a-lackin', everybody? Thank you for joining us here on Sunday morning. We are taping the show on Friday morning. We have a great show lined up for you. Want to wish everybody a happy Sunday. Hope you are happy, healthy, and safe. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be talking some NBA. We're going to be talking some MLB as well. Got a lot of hot stories, some NFL also. We've got two great guests coming onto the show, Alex Vargas and Anthony Tumminello. You want to stay tuned for that. I am Jay. I am joined as always by my brother Jeff. We've got Shane McGowan, the coach, Kelly as well. Guys, how are you doing today?
Doing awesome, Jay. How are you?
I am doing great. Shane, can you let everybody know how they can find you on your website and social media?
You can reach me at www.mentaledgeperformance.ca as well as on social media at mental_edge_performance. Let's get going here, Jay.
All right. Let's get loud. Let's get rowdy. Let's get debating here on the show. Let's start off with the NBA. Kel, we had a crushing injury, I think, to the Philadelphia 76ers that just went down recently. Ben Simmons suffered a subluxation of his left knee, out an undetermined amount of time until further notice. How do you think this is going to affect the Sixers, Kel?
I mean, you're right, Joe. I mean, anytime you lose your second best player, it's not a good thing. The interesting thing about Ben, of course, is that he does have some limitations. He does affect their spreading of their floor because we all know Ben has a little bit of a shooting problem.
A little bit.
All right, Shane, pipe down over there. All right. I think basically we got to look and see who's up. And I think that's really where we are now. I think Brett Brown was interviewed yesterday and he actually thinks that, you know, he may actually have Horford and Embiid on the floor at the same time, which is something that really didn't look good at the beginning of the season. It was something they were trying to avoid. I mean, remember, Ben has a new position right now. And part of putting him in a new position, power forward, it was really also to kind of get Horford off the floor as well. So you're kind of killing two birds with one stone there. But I'm trying to be positive here. I'm looking at Korkmaz, we've got Glenn Robinson, Thybul. You know, what is he going to do there? I think he's got a lot of options. I mean, one of the things we were talking about yesterday via social media, and one of the things that was always said since the beginning of the season is, hey, just surround Embiid with perimeter shooters. That way, Embiid's in the paint, you have four shooters around him, and then that actually limits maybe the possibility of him getting double teamed. Because if you're watching him in the bubble right now, I mean, they are just double teaming. Because, you know, you let Embiid go with the ball and, you know, forget about it. You really can't. But guess what? You know, you really don't need to guard Ben when he's on the perimeter, right? Because yep. You know he's not going to take the shot.
Exactly.
So, there is some hope here. I'm hopeful. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Ben, of course, is the second best player on the team. But I think there are, in a way, better fits because of his limitations. And it's going to be interesting to see what Brett does.
Yeah, I'm not buying this kind of thing. I think the Sixers are in a lot of trouble, especially against Boston. I think if they win a round, that would be impressive. Yeah. Obviously, you know, they're not going to beat Milwaukee or any team like that, given the limitations that this team has. So I think the biggest question right now is going forward is not so much what they're going to do in the playoffs, because I think – you know, that's irrelevant at this point because they're not going to do much at all. So I think the big question now is whether Brett Brown returns to say, coach, I think that's going to be the big question. I don't think you can. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's a possibility. I mean, can you hold him accountable given the coronavirus and given the fact that You know, you've lost Ben Simmons. Are they going to say? Are they going to put out those excuses to keep Brett Brown around?
All right. Before we get to firing Brett Brown, which I know Jay wants to talk about, let's understand that there isn't some weird navicular bone injury going. Remember that with Embiid, like with Ben. We don't know. He walked off. I mean, he walked off with a trainer. He wasn't wrapped up. He was limping a little bit. We don't know. There have been similar injuries to this, and they're better in about 10 days. I mean, if it happened to me, I'd be better in a week. I just don't play, you know, high-level NBA. So, obviously, it could be a couple of weeks or a month, but it doesn't mean that Ben's not going to show up in the playoffs, guys. Come on.
I don't know. I think they're going to be really careful with Ben. I don't know when he's going to return, and I think that's going to lead to the demise of Brett Brown. I think truly that it was Eastern Conference Finals or bust for Brett Brown this season, and that no matter what happened, he had to try and make it work. He had to try and figure out a way to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, because year after year after year, we've been going through this with Brett Brown, going to the first round, going to the second round, getting bounced. And yes, I know it was a lucky bounce of the basketball last year that eliminated the Sixers
from
the playoff. You know,
what?
That was a shot.
A little bit.
It was a shot that was the championship. That was a shot.
Yeah.
It was like deja vu all over again. Yeah. That's the problem. So yes, Philadelphia fans and Sixers are still suffering from that scar. And of course, they want Brett Brown gone. Yeah. But again, like I said, losing Simmons is a huge, huge issue, and that's it. But I mean, there's no way. I don't think MLB there can hold his own for the entire rest of these playoffs. And he doesn't have that supporting help. Okay, that's the biggest thing. He's not going to get that supporting help that they should have had a while ago, because now everybody's put in the mix. And everybody should know injuries, when it happens to one of your elite players, affects the rest of the team too. So whether you say he's a week or 4 weeks, it's still a long time to get himself back into the groove of this. And that team, to rely on one other guy, is going to be real hard.
Oh yeah, and they're starting the playoffs and everything. So he's going to miss some playoff action, which is going to affect the Sixers, probably affect the Sixers win-loss total. And like I said, I think it was totally Eastern Conference Finals or bust for Brett Brown this year, and it doesn't look like the Sixers are going to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals without Ben Simmons. So that means I think Brett Brown is going to be packing up his office and heading somewhere else to another team.
I think even if Brett Brown won even a first round, I still think next season he would be gone.
I think
they've all ridden it out, that they would have done this even sooner if we didn't go through what we've been going through with the virus. I think they would have said, okay, bam, you're done. That's it. They're already looking to bring somebody else in, and that's all there is to it.
Well, I think if he got to the Eastern Conference Finals, got, you know, a little bit further than what he's been getting to the past few seasons, then, you know, they would have looked for a reason to keep him around. But I don't think he's going to get there, and when he doesn't, I think he's going to get bounced. Even though he's the one that brought in Elton Brand and had a lot of saying that, I think Elton Brand is going to bounce him with the approval of ownership. And I think then they're going to be looking for a new head coach. Maybe it's Ty Lue, maybe it's Kenny Atkinson, or maybe they go looking to the Spurs for Becky Hammon. You know, that would be an interesting hire as well.
Jay, no. Why do we want these guys that have been, you know, why do we want the guy that the Nets fired? Why do we want the assistant coach for the Clippers? I mean, you know what we want? We want a Nick Nurse. We want the next Nick Nurse. We don't want some coach that's been recycled and been recycled. We deserve better than that. We just do. So that's what I want.
Well, Becky Hammon hasn't been recycled. You know, give her a shot
she
at
hasn't.
It. You know, she's been learning under Pop, you know, the same way if you want to look at it the same way Brett Brown did, he was a pop disciple as well. So
hasn't really worked out.
Well,
hasn't
for
really
Brett
worked
Brown,
out for us, Jay.
For Brett Brown, but maybe Becky Hammon brings a new attitude, brings something that Brett Brown doesn't have, you know, or whatever, brings a different type of attitude.
Go back to that, as I say, go back to that Spurs tree, you know, if it doesn't work once, keep going to it, right, right, Kelly?
Right, right.
Because that's where you got Brett Brown, you got him off the Spurs tree, so keep going to that.
Hey, you never know, you know, it could work out.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, some interesting names out there. Overall,
but I agree, Jay, that, you know, he's probably gone. But what I don't necessarily agree with you on is that it's because Ben,
you know look,
upset his kneecap. His kneecap's a little out of place. That's not the reason.
Here's the real problem. The Sixers are not going to win a championship with both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid on this team until they split them up and trade one of them and decide that that's what they're going to do. Then the Sixers can start to move forward. But they're not going to win a champ. I am almost convinced right now that they are not going to win a championship with those two players on the team. It's just not going to happen.
So we're keeping
you know,
Embiid.
The new coach is going to – whoever the new coach is – is going to have to deal with this. It's going to be be thrown into his lap because he's going to have to deal with the situation of dealing with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons because I don't believe they can coexist and actually win a championship together. So,
right. If you look at it from a statistical point of view, though, I'm looking at a stat right now: offensive efficiency minus defensive efficiency, giving you the net how efficient they are with Simmons on the floor versus Simmons off the floor, and this is through the entire season, not just the bubble. We're actually more effective with Simmons off the floor. That's a rating of plus 4.1 versus a rating of plus 1.7. So I think the answer is there, and we all know what happens when Embiid's not on the floor. Like, instantly we're down 40 points. Like, instantly. So I think the answer is there. I agree with you, Jeff.
I think that's, you know, what the head coach is going to have to think about is, do you want to keep Ben Simmons around and, you know, or do you want to, move on and actually make the team better? Because I think it's sort of like addition by subtraction is what it is. By getting rid of Simmons, you make that team a little bit better. So, you know, to answer the question, I think the Sixers might struggle in these playoffs without Ben Simmons, but who knows? It might actually be a little bit better, but it's going to be a shock to try to, you know, for Brett Brown to actually figure this thing out at this late stage right before the playoffs.
Yeah, I'll say this. I don't think it has anything to do with Ben Simmons, the firing of Brett Brown, I think, will not have much to do with the Ben Simmons injury, though that may be the cause of it, because without Ben Simmons, certainly the Sixers have a much lesser chance of reaching the conference finals. So I don't think that helps Brett Brown's cause out at all. But
it's a contributing factor. Yeah,
it's a contributing factor for the Sixers not reaching the Eastern Conference Finals. But I do kind of agree with Jeff. I think it's difficult for Embiid and Simmons to play together. I would just give the new coach one opportunity, one season with those two guys before trading off one of them, just to see if they have any fresh ideas about how to work the two of them in together. Give the coach that one opportunity to see what he or she can do with Simmons and Embiid together. And if he or she cannot make it work in the one season, then have a sit down, then the Elton Brand and the head coach sit down with the coaching staff and say, okay, which one of these guys do you want to move? Do we want to move Embiid? Do we want to move Ben Simmons? Which one do you want to go forward with, and give the coaching staff that opportunity to have their voice to say which one they want to go forward with.
And by the way, during this, if they do decide to go ahead and fire Brett Brown, how big of a distraction is it for the owners now that they're in the process of trying to purchase the Mets? Just putting it out there. Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true too. They are. They
there
are.
You, go.
They are in the second round of purchasing the New York Mets. They, I don't think that they're going to be a finalist. I think it will come down to either A-Rod and J-Lo or one of the current owners of the New York Mets. But, I they're in the mix right now, so we'll see if they are able to get to the finish line.
I'm just saying, Josh Harris better, have his things lined up and better give his GM some authority here, because obviously, there is that, Josh Harris right now is mixed up right now. We're trying to, figure out a way to purchase the New York Mets at this point. So
this is true. They certainly got a lot going on. Absolutely. But right now what we're going to do is we are going to take a quick break. We are going to come back and we are going to talk some boxing. We are going to have Alex Vargas and Anthony Tuminello, two great guys from Long Island. We're going to talk some boxing with them. So you want to stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Give us a little bit of a break, and we will bring them back.
You're listening to the Sports Skillet Radio Show, cooking up all the hot takes. Jump in and join us at 609-919-9200. Download our app at sportskilletradio.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching for Sports Skillet. And remember to show us some love, like, follow, and share.
All right, and we are back on the Sports Skillet Radio Show. And as promised, we are going to bring on to the show two great guys. We're going to bring them on. Alex Vargas, you can find him at AlexVargas631 on Instagram. And Anthony Tuminello at Method Training on Instagram, all one word. Guys, thank you for joining the show. We appreciate it. I know Shane brought you on. Shane, do you have some questions for the guys?
Hey, all right, gentlemen. So, Alex, you are 6-0, and you're going into August 28th, I believe it is?
August 21st.
21st, okay. Down in Kissimmee in Florida. Who are you fighting?
I'm fighting this guy by the name of Chauncey Grace. He's from Miami, Florida, and he's also 6-0.
And he's 6-0 too, right? And again, you're going down. There is no crowds, as we all know right now, like this. So, but it is televised. Is that correct? There is going to be a little bit of television happening for us.
Yeah, it's going to be live on Telemundo.
Okay, Telemundo. Perfect. How are you feeling about this? How are you feeling about this fight coming up?
I'm excited. It's what I've been waiting for, to get the opportunity to fight on national television, live television, and let everybody see, what I can do.
It's a big deal. I mean, like I said, I've worked with many different fighters in that way, from Shane Mosley Jr. to Chris Van Eerden and Xander Zayas and all these guys like that. So I get it. When you get to the big event, and it's televised, there's a lot more, but there's no crowd. So it's a little bit different from some hype. But you also got your buddy there, Mr. Anthony Tamel, who's also with you. How has he helped you get ready for this fight too, though?
He's helped me, and I can't even describe how he's helped me. My weight is, I'm already close to weight. I'm eating more than ever. My energy is through the roof. I feel strong, just all around. I feel amazing.
And that's the biggest thing, is as I think when everybody has to understand, is that the weight cuts for fighters or individual sport, combat sports like that, can be very difficult, can be very tricky. So Anthony, how have you helped out there with Alex and getting him down from what his walking weight is to that competition weight to still be able to get into that ring and do what he does best, right? Which is fight, punch hard, and be, how can I say, you're going six rounds can be a long time. You know what I mean? So you got to make sure that you got that full energy to go. So but how have you done that for him there, Anthony?
Well, biggest thing is Alex never really had a strength and conditioning coach. So I started basic. My biggest thing with him and any endurance fighters, as you know, is his energy level leading up to the fight and then fight day. So the energy level is important because he has to train at a high capacity. So what I tried to teach him is food timing. When you need carbohydrates and the proteins and all that stuff, he didn't really understand what those foods do and when to eat them. Okay.
Right.
the biggest thing with him is I wanted to have him understand that I can feed him a lot of good, obviously the foods, the carbs, the nutrients, and have him still cut the weight. So that's the difference between a strength and conditioning coach as you know, it gets specific between sports. So bottom line is his energy level was through the roof. He's already down to 150. Now his other fights, he was at 156 at this point. So he's already down to 150 and he has to get to 138. And then that's just really a water cut, but we're keeping his power levels up and we're keeping his energy really through the roof. And that's really the biggest thing that I wanted to achieve with Alex, besides the power factor that we really had to add a little bit.
No, and that's it exactly. I mean, look, we've been in the game long enough and I know how these fighters have taken it, where it's like going in week of, you're still 20 plus pounds before you got to cut. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, I'm putting the blankets on me. I'm soaking in tubs. I'm doing everything wrong to get my weight down. I'm on the scale and I look like a zombie out there and I got my hands up and everything like that. And then you got to replenish all this back, right, to get back for that fight. And depending what time the fight is too, it can really make a big difference on the body. And I mean, I've seen that, I've witnessed it, and you guys have too. And so Alex, I mean, the probably one of the biggest things was naturally getting Anthony in your corner, having him help you with this weight all the way down so that come competition, you are set and ready to go. And it's the last thing you need to worry about on your mind, you know, which is huge. I'll say this, having to worry about your weight cut and everything like that will affect you. There's no question about it. But if you're comfortable going through the whole process, by the time you get there, it's like, bam, I made it. Let's go. Let the bell ring and I'm set to knock somebody out.
Yeah. You know, I feel good. Like I said, it's not a worry just because I'm right there. My focus now is just finishing up training, really. And, you know, it's one less worry just to focus on the fight.
Is there anything about your opponent that kind of, you know, you've studied him and everything like that, you found his weaknesses, where he's, you know, capable of you making your best opportunities at?
Yeah, there's not a lot of footage on the guy. I know he's a southpaw. And
yeah.
Southpaws usually don't fight each other, but this will be my fourth one out of my sixth fight. Okay. So I'm comfortable fighting southpaws. You know, I know what he's going into, and, you know, I don't know if he has that experience as well.
Yeah, I did happen to go on and try to catch a couple of glimpses of everybody and stuff like that. And you're right, there isn't much footage, which sometimes can make it a little bit tricky. But the footage that I did see, you can definitely see the difference of how his style is and what your style is. You know what I mean? Right. For a quicker pace, if need to be, or slow it down. The only advice I always give every fighter is this, the guys that I've worked with, is keep the eyes open, stay focused. Right. Yeah. When the eyes are open, you see everything. Right. You're focusing that way. And then when your trainer's talking to you, eyes on me, you got it. You know what I mean? Controlling the breathing and do everything you got to do. But like I said, biggest thing is coming in shape without any worries. Anthony, tell us a little bit more about yourself real quick here. You're out of where?
Long Island, New York. I'm glad you guys were talking a little NBA because I'm a miserable Knicks fan forever. You want to talk about misery. I mean, I've been living that. But, Long Island, New York, I've been a strength coach, trainer, nutritionist for 18 years.
Been on magazines, cover up magazines.
Yeah. I'll let you brag a little bit if you want about me. That's fine.
Holy.
I've been on three, international magazine covers, fitness magazine covers. One being Train, where I met Shane for the first time because he writes in the magazine, an incredible article, by the way. So I my first cover on Train, I was, you know, kind of going through it and I saw his column and I was beyond impressed with what this man did, you know, sports psychology realm of everything. But like I said, I've been doing this 18 years. I've got, you know, clients of all age ranges, of all bases, you know, those thoroughbred athletes to the moms trying to get that baby weight off. And, I'm beyond passionate what I do.
And there's no question about that. We have talked before. I know how much passion you put into it, especially during this time when everybody's been limited, can't getting out or anything like this. You've been able to stay in touch with your clients. This has been huge for you, Alex, because like I said, I mean, getting ready for a fight is already tough as it is, but now in this situation is even harder. So to work together with Anthony and stuff, it's paid off. You guys have done an amazing job. Where is this fight going to be taking place again? Give us a quick rundown.
It's taking place in Osceola Heritage Park in Kissimmee.
Osceola, yes.
Yeah, August 21st, live on Telemundo. Not sure what time yet. I heard around 8 p.m. most likely, but definitely live on Telemundo.
Perfect. Any questions there, Mr. J?
Oh,
Mr.
Yeah, Jeff. I have a couple there for Alex there. Alex, real quick, you said the fight is going to be in Kissimmee, Florida. Do you have any reservations about traveling to Florida in light of the current pandemic that we're under?
Yeah, we just, we're leaving next Sunday, going to be there for the week. They're putting us in either an Airbnb or a hotel, but all of that squared away. I already had my COVID test, came up negative. And basically, it's, I guess, a quarantine over there and just getting the last few pounds off. So that's pretty easy.
Cool. And can you let everybody know what drew you into boxing, your background a little bit?
Yeah, when I was young, I remember watching tapes with my father, watching Mike Tyson, all of the throwback fighters. And it just naturally came about. My dad and I would spar. I was like 6 years old. We'd spar in the basement, have our own little fake world championships. And then from there, I just stayed in the gym. And ever since I was six, just stayed fighting. Kind of just naturally happened.
I met Mike Tyson about 2 years ago, year and a half ago. That fella, he's still solid as a rock. So I wouldn't want to get punched by him, that's for sure. You know what I mean? And we'll be able to watch him in September as well, too, coming up. So that's going to be an interesting one with Roy Jones Jr. So, but like I said, it all starts by the young age, and you branched off. How much in your amateur, as an amateur fighter, how did you do as amateurs?
I honestly didn't have many amateur fights. I think maybe about 25 amateur fights. I was always
made the jump to the pros.
Yeah, I was always playing other sports in high school as a kid. So I never got to solely focus on it. And then I went away to SUNY Cortland and finished my bachelor's degree there. And I did well as an amateur. I won the New York Golden Gloves. I made it to finals. So I made it to finals twice. I won junior Olympic tournaments and the few fights I had. But I just stayed in the gym, you know, even without the amateur experience. That's kind of what helped me turn pro.
Nice. And that's all this. All the best to you, both you guys. Stay safe. Come back with a huge victory.
Yep. And one more time, guys, can you let everybody know how they can find you on your social media accounts?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at AlexVargas631.
My Instagram is AT Method Training. I also have a website called officialmethodtraining.com. And that's it. I appreciate you guys very much for having us on. You know, we're blessed, and Shane's my buddy over there, and I'm looking forward to this. Let's get this victory, because, you know, after this, we got some big stuff coming, no question.
There cool. you go. Best of luck, Alex. Best of luck, Anthony. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and maybe we can have you guys on again after the fight. You guys can tell us about it.
Absolutely. Definitely. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Okay. We appreciate it.
Good luck.
Good luck, guys. All right, and we are going to take another brief time out, and we will come back again after this. Stay tuned. We have a great show still lined up for you, so we'll be right back again after this.
Get ready for the best. You're listening to the Sports Skillet Radio Show, cooking up all the hot takes. Jump in and join us at 609-919-9200. Download our app at sportskilletradio.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching for Sports Skillet. And remember to show us some love, like, follow, and share.
All right, and we are back on the Sports Skillet Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for Alex Vargas for joining us, as well as Anthony Tuminello. We appreciate them as well. But we've got a great show lined up for you as well. We are going to turn our attention to the NHL playoffs. They are going on. We are. I know you don't like it, Jeff, because your Rangers have been eliminated. But
even show up. What do you mean eliminated? They didn't even show. They didn't even get out of the gate, let alone. I mean, they showed up in the bubble, but that was about it for that team.
I'm telling you.
And you know what? And you know what? I got to just rant right away because that coach right there for the New York Rangers right now, how do you start Lundqvist right there in game one? I don't understand it. I'm still perplexed by that whole thing. I know Lundqvist is a legendary goaltender for that franchise and that team, but you're trying to win a series. You're trying to win a playoff series. And you have better goalies on that team than Henrik Lundqvist, and you basically toss away game one just to say, okay, we started the king in game one. And that went – and that just went right out, and that just started the just rolling right downhill. Just everything just went right downhill after that. The Rangers only led for about, I think, 35, 40 seconds of that entire series. So like I said, they didn't even show up. So they've got some, like I said, they have some issues. We knew about it going in. But, look, here's the thing. Before the coronavirus hit, the Rangers were on a roll. They were looking pretty good going into the playoffs. And the coronavirus hit, and, they obviously did not get out of the gate. So now we have to look at, where this team goes going forward. Look at the – obviously, I think that's the end of Henrik Lundqvist for his career. Next stop for him is the NHL Hall of Fame. Congratulations to him because he'll get, elected to that. So – because I don't think anybody's going to pick him up. I don't think you can actually, you can't trade him. So, I just think right now it's up to Henrik to just call it a career at this point. You got better goalies right now on that team that need to get going and, get their, get experience, obviously, in net. And then you have to look at what else, what young players. The Rangers actually have a pretty bright future ahead of them. But, it's going to be they have to make the adjustments going into the offseason. So that's going to be the challenge right there for Quinn going forward in that franchise.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there. I don't think Lundqvist will be returning to the Rangers next season.
I hope not.
I think it would be kind of tough to trade.
And I'm a Lundqvist fan. I love Henrik Lundqvist in his career. I think he's done a tremendous job. I still go back to that, final against LA. I still think that, the Rangers, should have been a little bit better in that finals and gotten Henrik a cup in that series against LA. LA was just a better team in that cup final. They had some chances, obviously. Lundqvist had some chances to get, to get a ring, to hoist the cup. Never happened. That's the unfortunate part for him as far as his, his legacy is going to be unfinished business. I think that's going to be, I don't know how Shane feels about it, but I think that's going to be how it is for, the legacy for that, for that goalie, as legendary as Lundqvist is, and he is a legendary goaltender, is unfinished business because he never did get to hoist the cup. So, but he had chance. I mean, he had playoff chances, and definitely against LA, but they just didn't play that well in that series. So,
No, without a question of a doubt. Look at Lundqvist. Put in his time. He's done his job. He's done everything he can, but they should not have started him, just like Nashville is smart not starting Pekka Rinne and Sasa, right? This is what New York should have done. But, again, this is what happens. And you could tell by the look, and I hate to say this, this is going to be a bad picture. It's going to show Lundqvist sitting off on that sideline with his face just kind of in a daze of going, I just played my last game. You know what I mean? You could see it on him knowing that. And – like I said, he's got nothing to hang his head up down. He's done an amazing job as that player for that team. He did not hoist the cup, which is probably the biggest downfall for him. But just like many others who have never had a cup or a ring or anything like this, he did go out there and perform and give it his best. So like I said, kudos to Henrik Lundqvist and that organization for keeping him, having him there. But I do believe you are correct. He is done. He understands it's time to move on. the organization needs to move on to. And I almost think, like I said, if it was the trade, if we were normal and everything like this, they were trying to bait him out there a little bit if they could, just to say, you know what, we can't use your services anymore. But all things happen the way it did. But like I said, they're going to look to say, okay, it's time to go, and he understands that. So, like I said, your Rangers are out. My Winnipeg Jets just lost as well. I mean, it's – but we lost with injuries, though. We had some bad injuries up
there. Oh, yeah.
You lose your starting center. You lose your – you know, in Scheifele, you lose Patrick Laine to a hand. You lose Mace Lapleton. You're losing everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, defenseman. You're running on a skeleton team. I mean, the coach almost had to get suited up to go out there and play. I mean, it's that bad, right? You know? That's tough. That's tough to go anywhere. And again, like I said, coming out of the gate, and I said this from the beginning when we started all this, teams are going to be real lax out there, can't figure out what to do. They're missing everything. Timing is off. Look at Pittsburgh's possibly on their way out as well, too, against Montreal because of this, right? So, right. I mean, going to be upsets. And like I said, it's just tough when you've had that much of a layoff and you haven't got yourself up to game speed, and especially in a sport like hockey where they haven't had that much time to actually do preseason games or anything like this, or a camp. They had to get out there, and then the injuries start piling up, and as soon as that happens and it's next man up, the other people aren't ready. They just haven't had enough time to get themselves ready. So like I said, you're going to see some upsets here. There's no question about that as we keep moving forward.
Where I know in the – I'll take the East, Shane. You can take the West, obviously, but – I think going forward, you got to look at the East. I think it's Tampa right now in the East, I think. Yeah, I know you're going to say the Flyers, but you know, I think Tampa's a better team, Jay. I really do. I think Tampa's, you know, the Flyers going to have to step up their game to beat that team right now. I think Tampa right now has it going on. You know, Montreal might be a bit of a factor. Montreal looks pretty good, but you know, overall, I think it's Tampa's conference to lose. So we'll see what happens.
I gotta disagree with you there, because there's a team that's going to be playing for the. We're taping this on Friday morning, by the way. But there's going to be a team that's going to be playing for the number one seed in the conference that has looked unstoppable since the beginning of this. That. Hasn't lost yet. Oh, I'm talking about the Philadelphia Flyers there.
Homer Jay.
No, I just look at it. I'm seeing behind-the-back passes on the Flyers. I'm seeing them playing complimentary hockey. I got to disagree with Shane in the sense that the Flyers have their legs on to run. They're looking very motivated. They're playing as a team. They could have the number one seed in the conference should they win on Saturday. So
that doesn't mean anything, Jay, in the NHL. I got to tell you that right now.
Well, yeah, I do have to agree with Jeff there. I mean, in the NBA, it's seeding is everything. But in the NHL, the lower-seeded teams beat the higher-seeded teams all the time.
I don't know. The Flyers are looking really, really good. You know, now
they look good until all of a sudden one little thing happens and then the breakdowns come.
Shane, what matters? It doesn't matter sort of where they're peaking at what time. If they're peaking right before the playoffs, is that like what matters in your opinion?
You want to build up so that you do peak during the playoffs. There's no question about that, right? You want to have the momentum going, and this is where I'm saying is a lot of teams had that momentum going before this shutdown. You know, 4-game win streak, 6-game win streak, all of a sudden, boom, we get shut down. Now you got to rebuild that back. So right now, you're slowly trying to get that going again. There's no question about it. But again, as you stumble, because like I said, there's no way in the world that every player isn't going to be feeling these bumps because, and I hate to say this, because the way they have to play the games right now. You're playing, say, at 9 o'clock at night to playing at 11 o'clock the next day, some of them. Right? That's not a lot of time to recuperate, to get yourself ready for a fast-paced game again, and knowing that you got to keep winning to keep advancing. So like I said, it's going to be tiring. Now, the benefit is they don't have to travel. They're just where they are in that bubbles of each city like this, but it's still tough on that body. It's still tough to get yourself going. And again, because of the times that these players are doing it, there's a little bit of a gap where I may not be fully awake or I might be over awake. You know what I mean? I might be too much adrenaline, not enough, and everything like this. So there are going to be little factors. Like I said, to me, Flyers are doing okay, but I don't see them advancing after that much.
Yeah, I think we're looking at, you know, for me, I'm looking at a Tampa-Vegas final. I think Tampa and Vegas.
Like, look at Boston. Boston's had a hard
Boston
time.
Boston could
out
do
there.
It. Boston could obviously be a factor as well, yes.
Exactly, but they got to get themselves moving and everything too. So there's still going to be a grind. Even Columbus. Columbus is doing their job too up there. They're playing composed. They're going into overtimes. And this is also going to wear and tear on your body. This is going to wear and tear on you out there too. And get you fatigued.
Jeff, who did the Flyers beat this past week? I believe it was Boston. One of the teams the Flyers beat this week. So, again.
Well, that's a round robin. I mean, that's not the playoffs yet. Let's get the, you know, you're just playing, you know, the round robin here for seeding. So, let's get to the playoffs. Let's see what happens in these playoff series.
Yeah. Flyers.
This round robin is, sure. Okay, I'm going to get seated really good. I think I'm sitting comfortable. Then all of a sudden, you get that lower guy that comes in there that has been playing hot to get in there, spanks you. And then, you know, now all of a sudden you're like, well, we didn't expect that. Well, you know what I mean? Because your heads are getting too big because you want to be the number one seed, all right? And this lower seed who's fighting and has got nothing to lose ends up getting in there and does their job and has beaten a better team too. That's why I bring up Montreal and Pittsburgh. You got like a number 12 going against a number 4, whatever it is, and things like that. And boom, they're on the verge of being eliminated. I mean, that's a lot of momentum for that team that's going to be able to do this.
Gotcha. So who are you seeing in the NHL finals right now? I mean, before the playoffs start, Shane.
I'm looking, like I said, Tampa, but I'm also scared about out here with Chicago being the way they're playing and possibly also either Colorado as well. Those are some powerhouse teams that seem to be Chicago for whatever reason. This break helped them more than anybody. You know what I mean? And Edmonton, who has all the power with the Drysdales, the McDavids, getting hat tricks and all that, still can't win, you know what I mean, against them. So, like I said, it's showing exactly how tough it is, you know what I mean, to play right now out here in the West of a fast-paced game, a physical game. And I think that's the other thing, too. They're playing very physical out here, but they're playing with a lot of speed. That, to me, is what's going to make or break. And they've got some good goaltending from everybody. And, again, you got to pick your shots. You got to make sure it works. Out East, to me, when I'm watching some of those games, are a little bit slower at times. So I'm looking to see who's got the more faster legs under them as time goes on.
Oh, very true. And I got to give the NHL credit, you know, during these two bubbles. You haven't heard anything about the COVID-19 virus hitting any of the players. So I got to give the NHL and the players credit for making this two-bubble system work.
They have done a great job not only televising it, getting it out there. You watch the games and it's like, okay, it's no different than how I was watching before this whole situation went down, other than the fact that they don't have the fans, but they're putting in that noise. They're still getting it going and things like this. You are still watching the game as it was before you left in that way. And I think the NHL and the marketing teams have done a great job of that. They've made it look very classy and everything too. So like I said, I think moving forward, they're going to have this really, really working well for them.
Oh, I think so, too. I think I'm watching these NHL broadcasts, and I love the way that they're doing it. I mean, I know that traditionally, at least here in the States, it's been a tough watch for people. It's been more of a spectator sport, going to the NHL games rather than watching them on TV, because people say it's sometimes tough to follow the puck. But I think the coverage has been top-notch. I really do.
I'm just glad we don't have cardboard cutouts at the games they're watching. because at MLB, I just like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, you know? We got to find Bernie. Bernie was at the game where the Toronto Blue Jays played.
You Weekend know? At Bernie's, Bernie's guy.
Yes.
I don't even know where the Blue Jays played. That's how bad it's gotten up here in Canada.
Yes, they didn't allow the Blue Jays back in Canada. So let's switch over to our MLB real quick while we have some time. Jeff, the beleaguered Phillies bullpen Thursday night, comes through, holds the lead against the New York Yankees. Do you think the Phillies bullpen has turned it around, or do we give it some more time?
You got to give it a little more time, but it was comforting to see the fact that Girardi actually went to Neris this time in the eighth inning and gave Neris the ball. Face Judge with standing on at third base with two outs there in the bottom of the eighth inning, leading by only a run. Neris got it done. So as well as that bullpen to get it to Neris, and they were able to give up only the two runs out of the bullpen. So, the Phillies are going to, this is the grind, right, in baseball this year right now. Baseball is committed. They've put out a new schedule. They're making up every game that's been lost. You're going to have a ton of doubleheaders for teams. The Marlins are going to be playing a doubleheader, what seems like, towards the end of the year, almost every day. That's just what it's going to be like for that franchise. But baseball is committed. One of the things you see about baseball right now is that they're committed playing out and making sure that all these games are made up. Now, if another team comes down with the COVID virus, or you get another, one or two teams coming down with it, God forbid the Yankees or Dodgers come down with it, then I think the sports in some real trouble finishing out the season. But other than that, I think baseball is just collectively holding their breath, hoping that they don't have another team go down with this. And because the later you get, the tougher it is going to be to have teams make up all these games, even if you're playing seven inning doubleheaders. But that being said, hey, we're just going to have to see what happens here with the Phillies, and certainly in that division, it's going to be interesting, because it seems like every team right now is coming down with some injuries, arm issues. I mean, pitchers are not, haven't yet gotten up to speed. So, and they're being thrown out there. So, right now I think it's a work in progress for baseball, and you just got to, ride the right. I always say right now, ride the wave at this point. Mm-hmm. Just go with it as best you can. That's what I think the managers and the players are trying to do.
What do you think, Shane?
This whole I'm still waiting for this thing just to finally end, because like I said, it's like a bad TV drama show is what it is. You know what I mean? It's like never going to get picked up by another network. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's just, there's going to be more, and I hate to say it, I really do. It's just that the responsibility of the players has really shown the lack of and things, and for catching the virus and doing certain stuff. I just don't see it finishing the way it should. So, yeah, you can get a lot of hype right now by some of the games, which is great or whatever else, but I just got a feeling that come down to crunch time, once we get closer to the 40, if they're fortunate enough to get into the 40, 50-ish, and something, does happen, now what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you got these teams that are high-ranked and ready to play, and they're up there, and all of a sudden they're postponed? How long are you going to keep postponing, because of these things, if this does happen? Right. And I don't know if MLB even looked at it like that. I don't even know if they've even thought about that. Right. I think they're just trying to pray each day that they can get through and play the games, and that's it. So
exactly. They're holding their collective breath. Exactly.
They are. You know what I mean? And I just got a feeling that because of not being prepared for this whole situation, this whole thing, to play these games in a proper way, I think when it does come down to it, and let's put it this way, as fans and everybody like this, you are watching it, and all of a sudden, boom, the teams start getting hit with this virus, the coaches, maybe, and a couple of players, et cetera. Now all of a sudden what happens, right? Mm-hmm. Now how much are you going to be able to postpone it, or can't even play anymore? So like I said, to me, I just think to play this season was a bit of a gong show in the first place. And I'm just afraid that it's going to be more of a disappointment when it does come down to we finally have a final.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think the NFL is waiting in the wings here. They're looking, they're holding their collective breath as we speak as well, because although they haven't had a lot of positive tests, they've had a lot of opt-outs, and the NFL is looking at what's going on in baseball because the NFL is not bubbling like the NHL or the NBA. So they're trying to look at what's happening in baseball, and they're saying, you know, this might not be good for us. So
no, and that's the other thing you're carrying now,
and especially like I said, since that's even more of a contact sport than baseball is. So
and you got 53 players that are going to be going with you. You know what I mean? Like I said, this is not something where it's you're just going in for the morning and then leaving that afternoon. You know what I mean? You got to spend the night. You got to be prepared. You got to do all these other things. And all they're talking about is, well, we've decided we're not going to play in front of fans. That's your big whoopla. Well, okay. You guys aren't even going to be able to play. You know what I mean? And if we're talking about NFL, I mean, what's happening now with Doug Peterson over there?
Yep. Well, I was going to bring that up too. Doug Peterson is away from the team. He was tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. Deuce Staley is now in charge of the day-to-day actions at the NovaCare Complex. I think this is a good thing for Deuce Staley. Of course, Doug Peterson is doing his daily Zoom meetings and things like that. So he's still, you know, in charge away from the team, but actually having boots on the ground, that is Deuce Staley. I think this boosts Deuce Staley's stock quite a bit. I think he's been overlooked, especially last season when it comes to coaching vacancies. So I think this puts Deuce Staley definitely opens the eyes of the hiring people of the different teams. So I think this is a boon for Deuce Staley.
Jay, I actually am worried about it because I feel like it's just very symbolic. It's like, oh, here you go. Wear the proxy hat and run. Don't run it your way. You're running Doug what? Peterson's team, Doug Peterson's way. And he, like you said, he's been turned down twice for an offensive coordinator position. So that makes me nervous. I don't know. I feel like this is just here's a bone, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with Kelly on that one. You know what I mean? And like I said, however this virus also affects Doug Peterson, how long he might be out for, et cetera. I mean, that's a whole new ball game there too. And then when he does come back and everything there. But like I said, right now all these guys are also looking at themselves saying, okay, well, it hit our coach. So I mean it could also hit any one of us, right? So I mean watching these guys practice, you see this lingering in their minds out there. I've watched and I've talked to a few people already that are saying, in the back of my head, I'm going, damn, this thing is like right there. This virus is right there too, you know, and I'm trying to do my job, but I'm still don't know exactly how I'm going to be able to do it because we don't know. All of a sudden, I'm going from the Miami Dolphins and I got to fly to Philadelphia. Well, I'm going from one hot spot to possibly another hotspot. Things are not going to be great. You know what I mean? Like I said, I mean, it's tough. And all these players are thinking like that too. And their families are thinking like this too. So it's not a good sign. It's not a good situation. But like I said, I just shake my head when all I hear is the owner saying, well, we've decided to not have fans. Well, you know what? You got to do more than just decide to not have fans. You got to do something to protect the players and the integrity of the sport too moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, Shane, just that line alone, all I can think of is, well, they're not getting COVID from the fans.
Exactly. You know, you're not in the stands. You're not
so
even
you're really
close
not
to the fans.
Players.
Trust
you're
me, you're the fans. Exactly, right? It's that fan sitting beside each other that's affecting each other, okay? But the bottom line is that if they would have figured out some way to do even four different hub cities to play, you know what I mean, and said, okay, this is how we're going to do it in certain things, whatever it is. Right now, they're just kind of saying, we're just going to jump on a plane. We'll be okay. And we'll land and we'll, you know, roll the dice and hope we're okay. And that's it. And but never mind that last team that just left.
Baseball did. And we see how that worked out for baseball.
Exactly. So. Right. Well, it worked out like a charm for them. Look at the Marlins. Right.
Well, I can tell you that they just came out with a whole new rule book and stuff that they're cracking down on the players going out, going to hotel bars, things like that, saying that if you're found guilty of doing that, then you could be suspended for the rest of the regular season, if not the playoffs.
But so, here's the thing is, look how many players are saying, you know what? It ain't worth my health. I'm bowing out. Okay. There are more, and you're going to see, I think, even more as we get closer and closer towards this of kind of going, you know what, this is tough. This is a bit of a deal breaker in some ways. And you know what I mean?
How many of us are actually surprised that Mike Trout actually decided to come back after the birth of his son? I mean, to me, I was actually kind of surprised that his wife kind of said, okay, you know, go back and play this season. But I think there might have been some pressure on Trout, you know, from baseball to say, you know what, if you bow out, we're going to have a whole bunch of players saying goodbye. I don't need this. So I think there's a lot of pressure, you know, some of these guys, you know, to play. I mean, I think the NBA and the NHL players feel safe being where they are. But if I'm a NFL player or if I'm a Major League Baseball player, I'm not feeling all that safe. And like Shane said, you know, that virus is always, you know, around. It's always the ghost of that virus that's haunting, you know, these players as they go out there in the NFL and certainly in baseball. And like I said, I was actually surprised that Trout actually came back after the birth of his son.
And, Jeff, real quick, we could be seeing – the debut of Phillies pitcher Spencer Howard on Sunday. A lot of people have been anxious about it, looking forward to it. What do you think about the debut of Spencer Howard on Sunday?
If it happens, I think it's great for that Philly rotation. They need it in that rotation, obviously. It gives that rotation a little more depth. We know how good that rotation, you know, has been. It's been a pretty good rotation to begin with. You'll be adding in now one of the biggest prospects around in terms of his ability. But again, we just have to wait and see how he does coming out here. And, you know, I'll just cross my fingers that, you know, he doesn't hurt his arm or do something of that nature during this process. So I'm always concerned with some of these young players in this situation of where baseball is, because we're seeing a lot of pitchers right now go down with some injuries. So given the fact that, you know, they're not in their, you know, usual August form at this point, they're more or less in what you would consider to be early April, you know, form at this point. So to me, I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope that, you know, he doesn't hurt himself during this. Because I want to look ahead right now to 2021 baseball season, and I want to see Spencer Howard at near the top of that routine. That's
well, he's been pitching a little bit, too, in Lehigh. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking to see how good he does. I think this puts a lot of pressure on Vince Velasquez in the rotation, because
just get Vince out of there. I think that's, you know, the idea. Get Vince out of that rotation. He shouldn't be there to begin with, and you know, that makes that starting rotation that much more viable as far as the Phillies go. But ultimately, it comes down to that bullpen, you know, for the Phillies. I mean, if the bullpen comes out and pitches well, that team will be fine, given the fact that, you know, that offense and how well they play.
Yep. So, Shane, can you let everybody know how they can find you on your website and social media?
Yes, you can reach me at www.mentaledgeperformance.ca, as well as on mental_edge_performance. Gentlemen and ladies, it's been a blast.
Yep.
Go Tiger Woods this weekend.
And we want to thank Anthony Tominello and Alex Vargas for joining us as well. Be sure and check out their upcoming fight as well. Guys, it's been a blast. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. here on the Sports Skillet Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio 920 The Jersey. Like, follow, share, and subscribe. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay happy.
What's on the menu at Sports Skillet? Local and national sports talk that's always fresh, in season, and FDA approved. If it's hot, you'll find it cooking with Jeff,
Jay,
and Kelly.
Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. on 920 AM The Jersey.